Summertime and the living is not so easy in 2020 due to several factors, including we're still in a pandemic and the rate of cases continues to go up and down and back and forth, kind of like the theme park rides many of us are not going on this summer due to our global health crisis. This is Lisa Berry checking back in with Ann Arbor physician, professor, author, acclaimed social and cultural historian of medicine, in fact, director for the Center for the History of Medicine at the University of Michigan, Dr. Howard Markell. How are you holding up?
I'm holding up well, Lisa, and I hope you and your listeners are as well.
We spoke last April. Just to remind everyone, you're credited with coining the term flatten the curve.
Yeah, and the work that led to it.
Okay.
my epitaph was that he couldn't serve flatten the curve, but it was really the work that proved that it could work.
Okay. So here's a million-dollar question. Have we unflattened the curve?
No, quite the opposite. We were flattening the curve before the lifting of, by the way, I hate the word lockdown,
yeah.
Before the lifting of, you know, closures and public gatherings, and particularly in states that, you know, lifted them far too early or never had them, we're doing the opposite of flattening the curve. We're feeding the curve. You know, what we saw in 1918 during the flu pandemic in about 23 American cities was something I called double humped curves, where they were flattening, they were lowering their rate, and then they released the brakes too early, and they had a second hump, a second burst of cases, because they did things too early. And if you look at the overall epidemiologic curves for American states or cities, there's almost a double hump curve, but it's not even that good because we really release links too early. And as we're seeing, the United States leads the world in cases of COVID. So that's not a good public health response.
How about in Michigan or looking locally in Washtenaw County?
Well, in Michigan, we were doing really well. And I really credit Governor Whitmer for being so brave to enact the things that she did. And I really regret the people who were so vociferous in their protest against her. And the efforts were actually released because those protests were so great. And now we find that we are rising in certain areas. You know, Wayne County, Detroit remains a hot zone of health inequities and COVID. And we're finding in various vacation spots in Michigan, you know, the Torch Lake party the other weekend or the Traverse City area, there because people are congregating and not wearing masks and not social distancing. So I applaud her reinstitution of the face mask ordinance, and I fear that we will need more regulations.
So here we are in mid-July. School supplies are already out in local stores. I am not sure if we're going back to school or not going back to school. What do you think? What do you think based on the history of pandemics that you have studied so well, what's your recommendation?
Well, my answer is I don't know either. We saw that the enormous school districts of Los Angeles and San Diego, because of the real rise in cases in California, have decided to go online long distancing. And the American Academy of Pediatrics about a week and a half ago said, for all good reasons, that school is very important for a child's education, to be sure, but also his or her social development, you know, issues of play, of interaction, and so on. So it's very important. And for some kids, it's safer to be at school than at home. Some kids are at very high-risk homes, and some kids are homeless. So there are all these issues, but it became quickly politicized. And even the president of the American Academy of Pediatrics walked it back a little bit by saying, well, we have to see and we have to make sure there are good guidelines in place before this can happen. And she was sorry that it became so politicized. Indeed, the president, the vice president, and most alarmingly, the Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, who has made her career on local control of the schools, have all argued that the federal government wants schools to begin, but without any evidence or real authority. So I worry, and a lot depends on what happens in the next weeks to come. You know, historians like me don't like to predict the future. That's why we spend so much of our lives in the past. But as a doctor, I am not sanguine. I have a feeling that things are going to go up, and that most of our parents, including myself, are not going to feel comfortable with our kids going to school in the fall.
Does that count for universities? Where I live in the area with the University of Michigan, Eastern Michigan University. Is it the same situation or does it differ a little bit talking about young adults?
Well, in some ways it's worse because particularly for young kids, you know, 5 to 17, but especially 5 to 12, that demographic is not does not appear to be getting COVID or at least hospitalized for it. We don't know because we don't have massive testing if kids are asymptomatic carriers. Now, high school kids are getting it a little bit more, and of course, they have bad respiratory hygiene for other reasons than little children because they're kissing and stuff like that. College is a different animal entirely because it's a residential setting where you have at least a quarter of the population living in dormitories, in close contact, sharing communal bathrooms, eating in dining halls. And don't forget, you know, if you've ever been in Angel Hall or Nat Psi or any of the buildings of your college, you'll remember how crowded the hallways are between classes. So there are lots of reasons that social distancing is more important than ever. Some universities like Harvard and Princeton have elected to go completely long distance, something that has, you know, economic ramifications because the lifeblood of any university or college is of tuition. That's the gasoline that keeps the engine going. And some people may not want to pay full freight for long distance learning. At Michigan, we have elected to enact a hybrid public health informed semester where not all the kids will be in the classroom at the same time. They're trying to work on issues to keep the dorms safer. And there's been a lot of professors, by the way, not just those who are over 65 or have high-risk category situations, but there's been a lot of professors who are younger who said, I don't want to teach in person because I have a family at home and I don't want to bring the disease home. So, and there are a lot of staff and a lot of, you know, just regular people working at universities who are at risk because students may be asymptomatic carriers. So I'm very wary about returning to school for universities in the fall. And I think in the next weeks to come, we will see different decisions made potentially, depending on how bad the COVID is spreading.
But here's the big question. What about college university football? Yay or nay?
Well, nay. It's a nightmare. To begin, I know football is very important to a lot of people, but it is entertainment. It is not the main function of a university. That said, to have 110,000 people in Michigan Stadium for a game at close contact. You've been in that stadium. I mean, they paint the seats closer together every year, it seems. Even though you're outside, but you're screaming, you're yelling, you're cheering, you may be inebriated, you're not always aware of where you are. That doesn't even begin to account for all the tailgate parties or people watching it together at home or what have you. That is not a safe situation. But there's another issue, too, that even if you keep the stadiums empty, but you're allowing the players to play, well, they're at very close contact with one another while training, practicing, and playing. And we have to remember, these kids, too, are students. They are not professional ball players. And I am very hesitant to put those young men at risk simply for the name of entertainment.
As a medical historian who closely researched and knows what happened in 1918, are you surprised how political this pandemic has become? And then even one step further from political, it's an economic issue versus a medical decision. I mean, is that how it went before? And were you expecting that to happen this time?
All epidemics and pandemics are political and social, but this one especially. In our country especially, has become so political and so divisive. And to simplistically put it as a red argument or a blue argument doesn't cut it. The economic issue, yeah, I mean, epidemics and pandemics cost a fortune. And this is, you know, becoming the great mother of all pandemics. Mm-hmm. It may well be worse than the 1918-1919 flu pandemic, and it is costing a fortune. I'm not surprised by that. But I have to tell you, when it comes to the dollar versus a human life, as a physician, as a human being, I always value the human being and the safety of other human beings over the dollar. We're a very wealthy country. I think we'll recover from that once this pandemic is over, but we have a first priority of the nation's health to protect.
And I think I asked you this 3 months ago, and it doesn't really seem any different. You mentioned when the pandemic is over. Is there any end in sight?
Well, not right now. I mean, there are a lot of scientists and vaccine companies working feverishly, no pun intended, on a vaccine. You know, it takes a long time, A, to develop a vaccine, and then to test it, license it, and all that kind of stuff. That, to me, will be the ultimate end because, you know, there are hundreds of millions of Americans who are still vulnerable to this virus if we happen to encounter it. And the only thing that will protect us in the long term is an effective and safe vaccine. I'm confident that will happen. I cannot tell you when it will happen. It will be bigger than the Salk polio vaccine when it comes out.
Really? You think so?
I think so. The real key now, that what's different, is that when the polio vaccine came out, parents were pushing their kids to get the shot. I mean, parents wanted their kids in the field trial in 1954 that was done here at the University of Michigan. Think about that level of trust for doctors and science.
Dr. Howard Markell from the University of Michigan, stay well, and thanks so much for talking to us on 89.1 WEMU.
You too, Lisa.